You're listening to the Lakers Talk Podcast presented by Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm are huge Laker fans, and we're excited and proud to partner with and sponsor the Lakers Talk Podcast. So if you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
710 ESPN. This is Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa.
It's my obligation, it's my job to continue to pass on the game to the guys that's coming in after me. No one told me to do that. I just feel like it's just my responsibility.
Your city, your station, your Lakers.
You know, anybody that says that LeBron, why would he do that while he's playing? It's a show and sign of weakness. You know, he's buddy-buddy with the guys that he's going against. Tell him to kiss my ass.
Lakers Talk is on.
With a smile, too.
Here's Alan Sliwa.
What's going on, Funches?
Not much, man.
I apologize for the delay. I was trying to do the math here. 46 plus 13, minus 82, all that. 23 games left for the Lakers.
Yes. That's it. 23 games left for the Lakers.
And you're going to make the playoffs finally, too.
I know. It's been a while. It's been a while. But this is, you know, the beauty of kind of the conversations we're having here. I mean, think about my conversations so far. Conversations have been about Bucks and the Clippers coming up, and you know those are arguably the two teams you're going to have to beat to win an NBA championship. That's the position that we want to be in, right?
Right.
Like, it's not even just squeaking into the playoffs. It's about,
or just being totally out and talking about the lottery picks or whatever.
Talking about how we got to lose games,
right? Exactly, right? The
we
tank
became experts on the tank. All right, let's get started. Let's do some shootout.
All right, man.
As you know, Funches, shootout is presented by the Wallace Firm. Injured, need a win, you need the Wallace Firm. Proven trial lawyers who can get you a W for your case if you're injured. Get the W. Call 844-844-WINS or wallacewins.com. No win, no fee. 844-844-WINS or wallacewins.com. We appreciate their partnership. Let's get started.
Sometimes I get one wrong.
Thank you, Mace.
Mace, really appreciate you staying up for this show.
For sure. All right, so over the weekend, we both saw the Memphis Grizzlies with Ja Morant and the New Orleans Pelicans with Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
Right now, Ja is averaging 18 points and 7 assists, leading the Grizzlies to a 28-26 record in games he's played so far. Now, Zion is averaging 24 and about 7 rebounds, leading the Pelicans to an 8-7 record in the 15 games he played so far in the season. Alan, if the season stopped today, who gets Rookie of the Year?
You know, this has been a good conversation because I know it's coming up a lot and it should come up because, you know, in the small sample size we've seen of Zion, boy looks good.
I mean, this boy's really good.
The guy looks damn looks good, right? And then Ja Morant, he's done what he's done. So real quick, this is what I'll say. I'd give it to Ja Morant, and I'll tell you why. I don't think they have, first of all, I respect what Ja Morant has done this season. 18-7. We got a chance to see it on Saturday. He went off for 28-14 against the Lakers, or 27-14, whatever he had. Lakers didn't really have an answer for him. He had 4 3-pointers. I don't think they have as much talent in Memphis as they do in New Orleans.
That's right.
And here they are sitting in the number 8 seed, and it's the Pelicans trying to catch them. And you have Zion that's only played like 15, 16 games, whatever the case is. I go to Ja Morant.
I got one. It's a couple stats for you, involving Ja and Zion. Ja, if I can just bring it up right now, Ja is averaging about 49% on field goals this season with his 18 points per game. There are only two rookie guards in NBA history with better points per game and field goal percentage in his season. Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson.
Wow.
That's some tough company right there, man.
That's unbelievable. Like, that's, good for him. Good for
and
him.
And then you're like, whoa, Ja's clear the winner right now, you know? And then you see stats like this with Zion. After 15 games, Zion is averaging 24 points on 59% shooting. There's only one other rookie in NBA history with a 20-plus point per game and 55% field goal percentage in a season.
Who's that?
And that is Shaq. So it's just like, you know, these guys are putting up historic numbers, man. It's just so hard to decide who is the guy.
Well, here's the beauty. This is, I think that this is what's great about the situation. What's great about the situation, these guys are going to be around for 15 years, right? Like, that's what's great about the NBA.
I'll say right now, we're going to see Zion in All-Star games from now on. Voted in.
I want to see Ja Morant get it this year because he's been there the whole year.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
It's nothing against Zion. Zion's going to be an unbelievable player. But you got to also give Ja Morant the credit. You know, Ja Morant has been there X amount of games that he's played obviously over Zion. I'm a fan of what Ja Morant has done. I would appreciate him winning Rookie of the Year over Zion specifically because of that.
Yeah, I think based on just Zion playing only 15 games so far, you got to give it to Ja.
And it's not like Memphis is sitting in the 13th spot.
Oh, no.
You know, the Warriors are where the Suns are.
Then you could say Zion would probably be the winner.
They're fighting for the 8th spot, yeah. And it's actually everybody trying to catch them.
And they're beating teams like the Lakers trying to get there.
Yeah.
Alex Wood.
Mason, loving that Alex Wood.
Mason has gone completely different level of promoting the show by doing his Sliwa After Dark, and I'm leaving
on
the
phone
alone.
Right now.
He's
too,
doing
you know,
his own
everything.
Thing.
Everything.
He's doing his own thing.
Now, yesterday, the Knicks officially hired a new president and former super agent Leon Rose.
That's right.
Now, the New York Post is reporting that Rose would like to kick the tires and bring him back Carmelo Anthony this summer. Now, Melo is having himself a decent year after last year's fiasco. He's averaging about 15 points in 30 minutes per game for the Portland Trailblazers. Good move or bad move for both if Melo comes home?
Move on. That's my thought. My thought is move on, turn the page. Why trying to go back to
exactly.
something that was... I mean, I'm not a fan of some of the marketing moves that happens, right? Worry about the team, and it will take care of itself. Worry about putting together the right culture, the right roster, the right head coach. Worry about that. Everything else will take care of itself. I understand Carmelo Anthony is important to the Knicks, and he was important to the Knicks. That page is churned. You're coming in. Get a brand new clean slate. Figure out how to get the New York Knicks relevant again. By doing it with Carmelo Anthony, why are you going backwards?
I mean, but, you know, for nostalgic reasons or whatever, I mean, we saw how D-Wade did in the last year in Miami. You know, it was like a world tour or whatever.
But, you know, let me say this about Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade won championships.
That's very true.
With the Miami Heat.
That's very true. And I'll tell you what, Alan, the last time the Knicks were in the playoffs, Carmelo Anthony was leading them.
Well, you can't put up banners for being in the playoffs. They got to move on. I really. By the way, if the Knicks do it, I would say that's very Knicks-like, but that doesn't mean that it's the right move.
It wouldn't shock you, right? It wouldn't shock you one bit if they were like, we're going to sign Carmelo Anthony to like a big contract or something.
It wouldn't shock me, and it's also... It would be, you would think then that this new agent or this new, you know, president now is not learning from some of the mistakes that the Knicks made.
Yeah, I have a feeling that they're going to go after Melo, and I just hope he turns him down, man.
I was wrong!
That's
you
right,
were
Mason.
Wrong. No, Mason. You were never wrong.
Many times this season, the Brooklyn Nets have ruled Kevin Durant out for the season. Despite speculation, he can play, and there's some videos on social media where he's balling, putting up jumpers and stuff like that, looking healthy. Well, his business partner, Rich Kleiman, said this. Tokyo is a definite possibility. He allowed his name to be in the group of finalists, but there are more... other benchmarks in front of him that are more important before he makes those decisions. Now, we all know the last time Kevin Durant played was in the 2019 NBA Finals, where he tore his Achilles when he was with the Golden State Warriors. Listen to what Stephen A. said after hearing this report on First Take this morning.
I don't know what it says about KD, but I ain't happy about it. Let me be very clear, and I'm going to look right into the camera and say this to Rich Kleiman and KD. I know that KD don't give a damn what anybody thinks. He's his own man. He's going to do what he's going to do. Rich Kleiman, I don't want to hear that. The Nets are paying him. This is a superstar, a two-time champion, a league MVP. Damn it that this game misses, okay? All of this talk about Kawhi, LeBron, Giannis, and all this. Oh, I wish KD was healthy. Oh, damn it. Because let me tell you something. He'd be putting on a show. I guarantee you he'd be averaging a 27-7 that he's averaging right now. I guarantee you that Brooklyn would be one of the top two teams we're talking about in the Eastern Conference if that brother was healthy. You are out for the year. Totally understand. You understand? Because I was a...
Are you sure Brooklyn would be top two in the East?
I believe that. I believe that. I personally believe with KD, they would be top two. I personally believe that.
Okay. Because
all I'm saying is this. I'm getting sick and tired of these guys in this respect. You can do what you want to do. You know why you can do what you want to do? Because you're getting so much money. That's why. Well, who's paying you? Who's cutting those checks? It ain't the Olympics. It ain't USA Basketball. No. I need you on the court playing for the people that's paying you because there's... Look across that river, Max. Look, Max, turn around, look across that river, Max.
It's Dumbo.
What is that, Max? What's outside you? What's across that water? That's Brooklyn.
That's Barclays.
That's Brooklyn. Yeah. You understand?
So it, Bunches, is the argument...
This is no KD.
is the argument he's making. Argument he's making is he doesn't want him to play in Tokyo.
Not at all. Should KD play? Should his first steps on playing ball after his Achilles be the Olympics? I mean, if you're a Nets, you're a Nets fan. You work for the Nets. You're the president of Nets. You don't want KD to come back, right? For the Olympics?
I'm okay with him playing in the Olympics.
Yeah?
I really am. Because, I think that maybe we downplay how big the Olympics means to some of the players. Yeah. I think the Olympics mean something
they
to
do.
The players.
They really do mean
it's
something.
Once every 4 years. Mm-hmm. And if he's healthy and he's good to go, yeah, I would be okay with him playing.
Yeah,
I mean, that would be like us saying LeBron, AD, don't play.
Yeah, but that's a different case. That's just saying, like, LeBron's out for the season. He tore his Achilles. And the first time he can come back, he wants to play the Olympics.
But what if he can come back? Wait. So is what Stephen A. is saying, if he could come back, he should come back right now and start playing?
No, he wants them to wait till after the summer's done and come back for the Nets next season.
If he's healthy and he could go in the Olympics, I got no problem with it. I actually respect it.
I kind of get what you're trying to say, because in the Olympics, the workload is not as heavy for players like Kevin Durant or LeBron. You know, they have to share the wealth, basically. You know, they play 20 minutes a game and that's it. And they're playing against sort of inferior competition.
But I respect that he wants to play for the country.
I get that. But then you got to think about Paul George in those qualifiers breaking his leg like crazy.
Well, Funches, that can happen anywhere. That can happen in training camp.
True.
I'm just being honest, right? Like, that can literally happen as part of his rehab. That can happen in 3-on-3 where he's not cleared yet for full contact. It can happen at any time. Who knows? Maybe him playing in the Olympics in 2020 in Tokyo might actually just get his game polished again. So by the time the regular season starts, he's ready to go.
I think KD should wait till the fall to start playing again. But, you know, I love watching Team USA basketball and Olympics and stuff like that. And if he plays...
Put it this way. If he's healthy, I think he should play.
Okay. Well, I think I'm with you, but then not really.
I can't quit, John.
Mace can't quit, John.
I wonder what he's talking about.
So, Alan, if you're watching the early game at Staples yesterday, you saw a star was born that plays for the Philadelphia 76ers, and his name is Shake Milton. He's 23, played a season in the G League, and now with injuries to Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, he's a new number one option in Philly.
What'd he have, like 30-something?
He had like 39 last night.
Jeez.
Yeah. He's averaging 26 points in the last three games, including an NBA record 14 three-pointers made in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, the 76ers are fifth in the East and have been slipping lately. Is Shake Milton the new answer? You get what I said there?
I got the new answer? Oh, yeah.
Is he the new answer in Philly?
No. But what he could be is a great, you know, kind of somebody that they find out of nowhere that when Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons come back, he's got some confidence. There's a player that they can actually use in the playoffs. But is he the answer? Answer to what? Philadelphia, I picked them to make it to the NBA Finals.
Me too.
So I was one of those that thought, with the addition of Al Horford,
Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris.
I thought they probably had the best starting lineup in the NBA.
I thought so too. But you know, the games are also worn with the bench, and their bench sucks. They don't have no one off the bench,
maybe except for
Shake Milton. And you know,
by the way, but that could be a player that just stands out in a time where Philly's got nothing going for them. Lakers taking on Philly tomorrow,
and
by the way.
And I can easily see Milton playing with Simmons and Embiid with ease, because he's a great shooter from what I was watching yesterday versus the Clippers. He was knocking down all kinds of jumpers.
Sure.
And if you put him with Simmons,
a lot of attention towards those players.
Exactly.
And then he gets
open shots. Mm-hmm. I think it could work out. He might win a game or two for him in the playoffs if they make the playoffs.
Well, I will say that we'll get a chance to see him tomorrow. I don't think he's the answer to anything, but what I think he can be is a compliment to the big stars. And until the big stars come back and they got to be healthy, Philly doesn't got a shot.
We'll see him tomorrow at Staples Center, Alan.
We don't have suckers on this team.
We don't. We don't have any suckers.
Your boys. Isn't he trying to get some billboards
boys,
up?
Your boys. That's right. That's my favorite one.
Can I
my
tell you something?
Slogan.
So look, Mason comes off. I don't know how funny he comes off the air or on the air.
Yeah.
But off the air, like in between breaks, the guy is hilarious.
He is. He really is.
Mason,
we have a prep meeting every day.
He's incredibly sarcastic. Like, I can't take him seriously. He's hilarious.
Sometimes I just laugh, you know, later on about the stuff that we talk about earlier part of the day. All right. Well, today is an anniversary, a 58th anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain setting the single game scoring record.
That's right.
He scored 100 points in that game. Mm-hmm. We all know about that. It's a single game scoring record in the NBA. Since then, we've seen Kobe's 81 and Klay's 37 in one quarter. Mm-hmm. Allen, is Wilt still the gold standard for the best single offensive performance in NBA history?
He is. Yeah, he is. You know, it's funny. When I do some of these pregame shows with Michael Thompson, we might be talking about it could be anything. It could be records that were built or jerseys that are retired, whatever the case is. And he always brings up, Wilt will come up, and I'm like, MT, was he? I mean, I look at these stats. Like, how did he average this and this?
Yeah,
you know,
right?
Like, it, literally, his stats are so ridiculous. And he always says that that's the one player people don't talk enough about.
I don't think he was just such a dominating
player. We just never saw him. Like, you know, you and I, how are we supposed to know how dominating he was? But we do see the numbers. His numbers are...
And he died pretty young, too. He died, you know, maybe 20 years ago or so. So we really don't have any connection with him because, you know, we haven't seen him around in a long time, man. So I really think he is the single... You know,
that's the greatest
offensive player
of all time. I won't argue that. He had a year where it was 50 points a game and like 20 plus rebounds.
They say like he barely had to work for his 100 points. And then you see Kobe 81 points. You know, we see it a lot lately on Spectrum or whatever. And he had to work for that 81.
Well, I'll tell you what makes Kobe's performance, the fact that he was a guard.
Yeah.
You know, a shooting guard doing that. But that's the greatness of Kobe Bryant. And that's why, you know, he'll always be considered one of the greats and the greatest Laker of all time.
And, you know, Klay's 37 in one quarter. That's no slouch either, man.
Oh, come on now. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And 14 three-pointers in a game. That's Klay Thompson.
That's right from MT. Yep, duh.
Duh.
Good. We're good, Alan. Thank you.
All right, Funches. Appreciate it. That's Michael Funches there. When we come back, we'll get out to the Sprint People's Hotline, of course, presented by Sprint. Visit your local Sprint store and find out how you can get $100 just for switching. Get a network built for unlimited at a great price at Sprint. Hurry in now through Sunday, March 8th, to learn more. That's now through March 8th at Sprint. This is what I want to do when we come back. I want to spend some time, definitely want to spend some time on this conversation about MVP right now. LeBron James, after the game yesterday against the Pelicans, was with George Sedano, and Sedano asked him exactly, just kind of what does it mean to be in the conversation? I thought LeBron had a perfect answer for it, and then we'll make the argument. Giannis or LeBron? By the way, does it even matter? 877-710-ESPN, we'll do that coming up next. Stay right here, this is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN. What would an MVP mean for LeBron James? What would an MVP mean for LeBron James? He was with George Sedano after the Lakers beat the Pelicans. Take a listen to his answer.
I know championships matter the most to you, but you're having an MVP caliber season. I believe you could be the MVP, and maybe you should be the MVP. What would something like that mean to you at this stage?
At the end of the day, it means you had team success. It means that your teammates put in all the sacrifice just as much as you did. And they went out and tried to play as hard as they could, try to win. Because you can't be a league MVP without team success and your teammates doing all the dirty work. So, you know, for me, I try to be an MVP every single night for our team on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively, with my command, with my voice, with my approach. And if that results in an award, then so be it. But at the end of the day, that's an award for all of us because we all sacrifice every day.
All right, so a lot of MVP chatter in the last 24 hours after Lakers beat the Pelicans. And LeBron James, just another triple-double. Just another 34 points. What do you have, 13 assists, 12 rebounds? You know, I've said this on a few different occasions. I think he's the best player in the world. I still think he's the best player in the world. And this isn't to take, you know, anything away from... I don't want to take anything away from Giannis. Giannis has been remarkable. Almost 30 points a game, almost 14 rebounds, almost 6 assists, about a steal and a block each game. They got the number one record in the NBA right now, sitting at 52-8. But getting the opportunity and the privilege to watch LeBron James every single night, I see his impact. I know the impact that he has on the Lakers. I know what happens when LeBron, even with Anthony Davis on this team, I know what happens when LeBron goes to the bench and just tries to get a five-minute breather. Everything changes. Trust me, everything changes. We've seen it with the Lakers, this team. His impact to the Los Angeles Lakers is everything. Lakers got the best record in the Western Conference. I do think playing in the Western Conference has to be taken into account as well. I feel like what LeBron has done for the Los Angeles Lakers and the record that they currently have, I think he's got to be more in the conversation. Early on in the season, I thought Michael Thompson said something that was on the money, that the only MVP that counts is when you get the finals MVP. Every other MVP doesn't mean anything. I don't know at LeBron at his age, at this stage of his career, if he's looking at this position and this predicament that the Lakers are in and doesn't care at all, or if it means everything to him. But I think that the fact that he's not more a part of the conversation, the fact that more, I feel like the conversation has just shifted, well, it's going to be Giannis's, that part bothers me. We all seen it all season long, what LeBron has meant to the Lakers, and I know Giannis is incredibly important to the Bucks as well, but the most valuable player in the NBA is somebody that can completely change the scope of things by either scoring, by either passing, with the rebounds that he gets, 25.5 points per game, leading the NBA right now in double-digit steals. To me, he's the best player in the world. Here's Alvin Gentry, the coach of the Pelicans.
I'm just amazed that they talk about anybody other than him for MVP. You know, that's what he does. Every team that he's been to, every team that he's gone, have a chance to win the championship. So, you know, to me, I'm not sure what the definition of MVP is, but he makes everybody on his team better, and it makes it difficult for everybody playing.
Well, there's a head coach that got to see it, got a front row seat yesterday as the Lakers beat up on his team, the Pelicans. Laker fans, want to invite you to enjoy the finest tequila in the world, ultra premium small batch award winning Sincoro tequila. Sincoro is naturally rich and delicious for a signature taste unlike any other, and is best sipped and savored while enjoying with friends and family. Sincoro Tequila, official sponsor of the Los Angeles Lakers. Please sip and savor responsibly. You must be 21 years of age or older. All right, let's do this when we come back. We've hit on a number of different topics. One of the things I want to ask Laker fans out there, as a Laker fan, is LeBron winning an MVP important to you or not? Does it matter? Or is it just an award that really, at the end of the day, doesn't help us to number 17? By the way, I could see it both ways. If somebody calls in and says that, no, it's prideful to have the MVP rocked by the purple and gold, that's important and that's key, you can make that case. 877-710-ESPN. I'll take more of you guys' phone calls as well. I know there's still people that want to talk about this, Dion Waiters or J.R. Smith. So if you guys want to make a case for how the Lakers should make their final roster spot, we'll do that coming up next as well. 877-710-ESPN. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN. Kendrick Perkins on First Take is making a case for LeBron James to win MVP.
LeBron James was in the East. The whole thing was that, he's in the East. So we robbed him. Well, I wouldn't say robbed him, but he lost out on four MVPs when he returned back to Cleveland, right?
Truth.
He lost out on four MVPs. Why? Because he was in the East. During that time, those MVPs went to Western Conference players. Am I correct? Because they were making noise in the West. Steph Curry, they had 73-19.
He's back-to-back MVP. Right. Harden won one. Russell Westbrook won one, yeah.
KD won one or whatever, right? Here's my thing. Why are we not keeping the same energy for Giannis? He's in the East. The East is weaker. No LeBron James, no Kawhi Leonard. Why is the argument not the same? Now, here it is. LeBron takes his talent to the Western Conference. His team is number one in the West. He's averaging a double-double. He's balling out. Matter of fact, let me throw this stat out to you, Matt. Without LeBron James on the court offensively, the Lakers ranked 29th. With them on the court, with LeBron on the court, they ranked second in the league.
Well, they don't have a point guard.
But it don't matter, Matt. Here's the thing.
Big discrepancy.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. Steve Nash changed the narrative of MVP, and here's why. When he won the MVP, it was like he averaged 17 to 18 points and 13 assists. Kobe numbers, Kobe Bryant number was better that year. Shaq numbers was better that year.
But
he was more valuable to the Phoenix Suns. Is LeBron James, you take LeBron James off the Los Angeles Lakers, what would they be at?
I appreciate Kendrick Perkins just making the case that, you know, you got to pay attention. I know, look, I know a lot of Laker fans out there, and I know a lot of national media. They're paying attention to what LeBron James is doing. How can't you? It's special what LeBron's doing this year. It's special whether LeBron was doing it at age 25 years old, and it's special whether LeBron was doing it at 35 like he's doing it right now. But Kendrick Perkins, I think, making the case that all of a sudden what used to be held against LeBron James, that he was doing it in the Eastern Conference, isn't being held against Giannis in the Eastern Conference. LeBron's doing it in the West. LeBron's doing it in a far more superior Western Conference. And that doesn't mean that the Eastern Conference hasn't got better, because it has. But there is a lot to say about doing it in the West. There really, really is. Watching highlights right now, kind of a couple surprising performances, losses. The Rockets lost against the New York Knicks in New York. They had a six-game winning streak. And the Bucks lost to the Miami Heat 105-89. Bucks are 0-2 against the Miami Heat this year. So if you don't think the Bucks are trying to, if you don't think the Heat are trying to build around beating the Bucks, probably a lot of the moves they made right before the NBA trade deadline was specifically to go up against the Milwaukee Bucks. But back real quick to the case that I was making in regards to you know, the MVP vote, and it's, listen, it's not the end of the world. The only trophy I want to see LeBron James holding up at the end of the year is the MVP trophy, the Finals MVP trophy. That's it. If you think Giannis wants that individual award, or he wants what Kawhi Leonard has, getting it last year against the Golden State Warriors, of course he wants the Finals MVP. That's the only one that matters. Would it be nice for LeBron James to win an NBA or to get the regular season MVP? It would, and I think he's well deserved to do it. But if he doesn't get it, go prove it in the playoffs. Go beat the Milwaukee Bucks in the finals. Take care of the Los Angeles Clippers, and that's really the only thing that matters. You know, Funches, we get so caught up in the regular season. I do too. You know, I'm trying to come to the defense of LeBron, because I just get a chance to watch every single night what he does for the Lakers. I always try and you know, defend him as much as I can. But really, the only thing that matters at the end of the day, go get that Finals MVP.
Finals MVP. That means that we won a championship. I mean, I think only one time in the history of the NBA has a loser won the Finals MVP.
Was that Jerry West?
That thing was Jerry West. Yeah.
I appreciate what LeBron has done, and I don't want to take anything away from Giannis, because I know Giannis has been amazing all season as well.
You see a stat yesterday? Giannis' stat?
Yeah, was he 40-20-5, 40-20-6 or something
under
like that?
Under 35 minutes.
Under 35 minutes.
Which is unheard of.
The first time, I think they said.
Yeah, the first time since stats have been computed in the NBA. Which is crazy.
You're not helping me, Giannis.
I know. Man.
You're not helping me.
I know, right?
You're not helping me try and make my case for LeBron James on that one. I said this before. By no means am I trying to take anything away from what Giannis has done this season. I see the impact LeBron has on this team. As great as Anthony Davis is, as great as he is, when he's on the floor and LeBron's not, it's a completely different team. When LeBron just goes to try and get a 5-minute breather, it's a completely different team. A little bit earlier today, when we'll kind of circle back around this a little bit, we talked about the upcoming games for the Lakers. Lakers this week, they got the Philadelphia 76ers tomorrow. Everybody expects the Lakers to obviously take care of business against the Sixers tomorrow. But then they got some big games coming up. Friday against the Milwaukee Bucks, and then Sunday against the Los Angeles Clippers. TC in LA, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, bud.
Okay. I listened to Perk's argument for LeBron being MVP.
What do you think?
He's not off on his argument. What I think is that when you look at Giannis and them's record against the top four teams in the East and the West, they're 9 wins and 4 losses. When you look at LeBron and the Lakers, they're 4 wins and 8 losses. So if Giannis gets it, that'll be the reason why.
Well, TC, I'll say this. The rest of the way, let's just say we want to make a case for LeBron to win regular season MVP. You got some games left the rest of the way that are important. So you can't lose to the Bucks again, and you can't lose to the Clippers on Sunday.
Well, wait a minute. I'm going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
All day today, Steve Mason and all them guys, LeBron sent a message to Zion. It ain't Zion. He got to send the message.
Agreed.
He got to send the message to Giannis, and he got to send the message
to Kawhi.
Okay. See, all that they were saying, LeBron had a hell of a game last night. No one can say he didn't. I watched it. But, hey, the message is going to be Friday night and Sunday. I hate that Philly, Embiid, and Simmons ain't there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, I mean, to me, if...
That's where the real messages are sent. The message is, if you're going to make statements in the regular season, it's these two games coming up on Friday and Sunday that you send your statements.
And I'm going to tell you something. If you're really honest about it, if you gave LeBron and AD the edge over Paul George and Kawhi, and I don't think that LeBron is that much ahead of Kawhi, okay, you can't say that 3 through 12, the Clippers don't have the better players.
Well, I'll say
seven game series going to be won.
TC, and by the way, I'm not going to disagree with that at all. That is how it's going to be won. That's why these other players, these role players that we talk about with the Lakers, everybody's going to have to step up. Danny Green can't have the same postseason as he's had the regular season. KCP's got to play even better than he has in the regular season. Kuzma's got to be better and more consistent. They're all going to have to. Markieff Morris is going to have to be a big key. I'm not arguing with that by any stretch of the imagination. The good thing for the Lakers, I think their top two are obviously better than the Clippers' top two. Lakers talk on 710 ESPN is driven by Toyota Santa Monica, where it's all about the guest experience. They're located on the corner of Lincoln and Santa Monica, just off the I-10. Call Matt. Set up a VIP appointment. Toyota Santa Monica in Santa Monica, on Santa Monica, an LA Car Guy dealership. We appreciate their partnership on the station. When we come back, we'll get to our Power 5, and then we'll also do our look ahead. So we'll look ahead to the games coming up and give our predictions of the game. The Power 5, we are going to rank the top 5. You know, I'll tell you when we come back. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. The Sprint People's Hotline, powered by Sprint. Visit your local Sprint store and find out how you can get $100 just for switching. Get a network built for unlimited and a great price at Sprint. Hurry in now through Sunday, March 8th, to learn more. That's now through March 8th at Sprint. So many calls today. A lot of calls talking Lakers basketball on the Sprint People's Hotline, so we greatly appreciate that. This is what we typically do. So in the final segment, we like to do our Power Five. And what we do with the Power Five is every time it's a different topic. So I'm going to have Steve, why don't you hit the music right there? Got our nice Power Five little music bed right there. What we're going to do tonight, and Funches and I will do this, we're going to list the top five MVP candidates this season. So however we want to put them, and I know this is a kind of a tough list to go by, because there are so many great players right now in the league, and obviously we could just look at the Lakers. I think there's a couple candidates right with the Lakers right now. So, Funches, I don't know if you're prepared yet and ready to give us your top five.
Oh, I'm prepared.
All right. Let's get things started. Why don't you give me your number five?
At number five, I got Luka Doncic. And he's kind of tailed off lately. He's been injured and stuff like that. But still, 28-9-8 on his season. And Dallas has just came out of nowhere, and they're in the playoff mix. We thought they weren't going to make the playoffs at all, but they're in a mix. So he's number five on my list.
Okay, number five for me. I don't think anybody's talking about AD. I don't feel like anybody's talking about Anthony Davis. Okay. So I'm going to put AD in my top five. I'll tell you why. He's the best defensive player in the NBA, and he's still giving you 25-9 or 26-9, whatever he's giving you every night. I've seen some games so far this year. Funches, it's not out of the ordinary for me to do a post-game show and say that Anthony Davis had 6 block shots.
Yeah.
He had 4 block shots. Mm-hmm. He had a game where the Lakers had 14 team blocks. He had 7 of them.
Whoa. Wow.
And that was probably within the last 2 weeks or so. I love what he does on defense. Yeah. I love the way he impacts a game on defense. To me, he's a top 5 MVP candidate. I got AD at number 5. Who you got at number 4?
Number 4 for me. I got AD as
okay,
well.
Okay, all right. AD's in there.
AD's number 4 for me. 26 points per game, about 9 rebounds or 10 rebounds. And yes, he's going to be the defensive player of the year. I believe he's going to be defensive player of the year.
Yeah, his impact, I think that's what I appreciate the most is defensively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We were talking yesterday, Trudell and I were doing the pregame show. He was filling in for Michael Thompson. And when we were talking about it, the conversation was about basically the conversation was, all right, who fills the void, not on offense, who fills the void on defense? Yesterday we saw it. JaVale McGee had 6 block shots.
Ooh,
had
wow.
Key block shots for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. But Anthony Davis, like you mentioned, is special what he does on defense.
For sure.
Number 4 for me. Got James Harden right there, all right? The Rockets are playing some good basketball. I don't think anybody expected their 6-game winning streak to come to an end tonight at New York, but they're definitely making some way in that top 4 right now. They're sitting at 39-21, now 2 games back from the number 2 seed where the Nuggets and the Clippers sit. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and the small ball lineup is actually working. I got Harden at number 4. Who you got number 3?
Number 3, James Harden.
Okay.
The Beard, 34 points per game, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. And yes, the small ball is working in Houston now. They've done something. They got rid of all the centers. They got rid of all the 7-footers, and they got P.J. Tucker starting at center.
They are. How funny is that?
Right.
But, you know, I'm not opposed to them trying something new. You know?
Yeah, it's working, Alan. It's working.
Well, here's the thing. They knew with Clint Capela, they don't got a shot at an NBA championship. Yeah. So why not try this?
Mm-hmm.
And I respect the rolling of the dice and taking a risk because you already knew you weren't going to win a championship.
They probably just wish it was, you know, in November or December that they made this trade instead of like March right now. And it's getting close
to the
playoffs.
But, you know,
They're still right there, yes.
I mean,
yes.
2 games back, they should have been a game back, but they lost choke
and
in New York.
Whoever they play, the Lakers, the Clippers, or Nuggets, they're going to give them a tough
test.
They
can be a headache.
Exactly.
Harden on the year, 35 points a game, 6.5 rebounds, 7 assists, 1.7 steals. Actually impressive. One over a steal and a half per game.
And I think it's the highest per game average since Michael Jordan did it, like in the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. A little bit of love for Harden. We'll give Harden that love.
Yeah.
Okay, number 3 for me?
Number 3
for me is Kawhi.
Okay.
So I got Kawhi in my top 3.
Wow. Okay.
All right. I got Kawhi in my top 3. And I'm only going to say that he's in my top 3. I know his numbers are not the numbers of what the Houston Rockets and James Harden has been doing. Harden or Kawhi Leonard, 27 points a game, 7.5 rebounds, 5.2 assists, 1.8 steals. I'm putting him in my top 3 just because I think the Clippers are a top 3 team in the NBA. That's why I'm doing it.
I'm
not, and maybe that's not a fair way to do it, but that's how you feel like you got to put somebody in your top 3, top 5 from the Clippers because you know they're going to be contending.
My thoughts on him is that he does not play enough games. And that's not his fault. That's the Clippers just holding him out, you know, of games and stuff like that for load management or whatever.
That's fair. I mean, if I'm going to say that for Ja Morant and Zion Williamson, you can make the same argument.
Exactly.
All right, who's your number 2?
Number 2, LeBron. LeBron the king. You know what he's been doing. He's been basically carrying the Lakers, you know, with AD out, you know, over the weekend. And we've seen it. We've seen it time and time again.
We know his impact.
You know his impact.
We know his impact.
On and off the court, we know everything about LeBron. He's my number 2.
All right, I got LBJ at number 2 as well. And let me make my case.
Okay.
I mean, here I did spending 5, 7, 10 minutes about talking about LeBron.
Right.
I have him at number 2 right now, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Funches, I want to see how the season ends. I think the Lakers got something to prove the rest of the way. I think you got to beat the Milwaukee Bucks. I think you got to take care of the Clippers on Sunday. I think he has to have some of these, you know, great performances against those two teams specifically, and you got to come out with wins. I think that's important. I think that's part of the MVP race. I think if you're 0-2 to the Bucks and 0-3 to the Clippers, that says something. And that doesn't take away from LeBron's greatness. It just takes away from that chatter we're having about MVP conversations.
I mean, there's 11 other guys on the team as well. So
listen, I know how valuable he is. He's remarkably valuable. Mm-hmm. I've made the argument. I still think he's the best player in the world. Yeah. I just want to see some W's against those teams. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all I want to see against those teams. I got him at my number two. So obviously you Giannis. Have Jokic at number one.
No, we got Giannis, the Greek freak, at number one, me and you. And I had a conversation with Steve Mason today before his show. And
actually, I kind of want to go back on what I just said.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let me tell you, I was talking to Mace before the show today, and I was like, man, LeBron's kind of putting it on right now. He's kind of, you know, he might overtake Giannis in the MVP race. And basically the words he told me was, you take Giannis off of Milwaukee, you know, they're a lottery team. You take LeBron off the Lakers, they're still kind of a playoff team. They might be hanging around the eighth seed or whatever.
I don't know if they're a lottery team. I think they'd actually still be a top five team in the East.
You think the Bucks would be?
Yeah, listen, Chris Middleton, George Hill.
Chris Middleton
is
your best player? Come
Brooke
on,
Lopez.
Man.
I mean, look what happened to the Toronto Raptors. Look what happened to the Raptors.
I get that, man. But
they lost Kawhi Leonard. You can keep your head above water in the Eastern Conference.
I'm sorry, man. I'm not believing in a team where Chris Middleton's your best player. I can't believe in a team where Chris Middleton's your best player. I'm sorry.
I don't think they'd be a lottery team. Lottery, right now in the Eastern Conference, you could be 5-7 games below 500.
I see that, man. You can be 18-40 and still make the playoffs in the East, man.
All right. So with that in mind, I'm kind of having trouble on this one. Giannis is such a great player. But damn, man, I've been watching LeBron all year long.
But that's
take LeBron over to the bench for 5 minutes. Lakers are -7.
And then that stat yesterday was probably the nail in the coffin for me. You know, the scoring, the 40,
I just
the 20.
It.
And
LeBron's my number one. He's my MVP candidate.
Get out of here.
I flipped it.
You can't do that.
I can. Let me tell you why. You can do ties in your top five. I can flip and convince myself in the middle of me making an argument. I got LeBron at number
all
one.
Right, you've spoken. You got it, man.
All right, that's our top five MVP candidates. Okay, quick look ahead. Philly tomorrow. What happens?
I believe that's a win because Embiid and Simmons are out.
I think officially.
I think officially. And then Shake Milton might go off for 50, but he ain't going to beat the Lakers.
All right, Lakers are beating Philly tomorrow. Let's stop messing around with that one. Let's give honest answers here.
Okay.
Bucks on Friday, Lakers-Bucks. Win or a loss?
I think it's Milwaukee.
Really?
I think it's Milwaukee, man. Giannis is just too good, and I don't see an answer defensively for Giannis.
All right, you got them 1-1 through the first two games.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Lakers are not losing to the Bucks on Friday.
All
right. I really, really believe they won't lose to the Bucks on Friday.
Okay.
I don't think the Bucks, they're very good. I'm more concerned with the Clippers than I am the Bucks.
Okay, yeah. I am too.
I have more concern against the Clippers than the Bucks. I think Lakers handle business on Friday night against the Bucks. So I got them going 2-0 to start it off. Final game Sunday against the Clippers. What do you think?
Clippers, I think they finally get the win against the Clippers. Finally. And I'm going to predict this. I think we're going to see a Morris brothers scuffle.
No, they won't fight.
Like a scuffle. They're like them brothers. Just pushing each other. There don't have to be arguments or anything, but just, you know, pushing guys out the way or something like that.
All right, you know what? I don't care. I'll eat my own words. Lakers go 3-0 this week. That's
Woo!
What I got. All right?
Woo,
take
man.
Care of the Milwaukee
Get
Bucks
it.
And take care of the Los Angeles
Get it,
Clippers. It's going to be a tough week, but I think it's a very important week for the Lakers. I know I talked about this to kind of start off the show. These are critical games. These are important games. If you're a team that you feel like you got to get through the Bucks and you feel like you got to get through the Los Angeles Clippers to win an NBA championship this year, you can't go 0-4 in the regular season against these teams. It's not a good look. I do feel like, you know, confidence is a big, big part to do with how a lot of teams are successful. I do feel like confidence and kind of that mental edge can make a difference in the playoffs. I had a lot of callers call in, and I appreciate everybody that called in that talked about, yeah, but Al, this is a veteran team. This is a team that, you know, everybody knows just how talented they are. Everybody knows they got 9 championships. If you add them all up between LeBron and Rondo and Quinn Cook and JaVale McGee and Danny Green, there's a lot of guys that know how to win on this team. That regular season is never going to tell the whole story. I get it. But to go 0-4 against the Bucks and to go 0-4 against the Clippers, that's not a good look. So I got a feeling that the Lakers are going to, you know, treat these games with the respect that they deserve. Maybe it would be different if the Lakers were 1-0 against the Bucks and 2-0 against the Clippers. Maybe it would be desperation time for the Clippers. But let me say this. I think the Bucks and the Clippers are going to play. They're coming to Staples to win. I know that game against Clippers is at Staples either way. But I think they're coming to Staples 100% to try and make a statement. Hopefully it's the Lakers that are making a statement rather than the Bucks and rather than the Clippers. Appreciate you guys tuning in. 2.5 hours of Los Angeles Lakers basketball. You can catch the full show on the Lakers Talk podcast or on the Lakers Talk on the ESPN app or on iTunes. So feel free to go on there to catch that. Pre-game show with myself and MT tomorrow starts at 5:30. Thank you to Steve Paulette. Thank you to Michael Funches. LA, have a great rest of your night.